Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
A scripture passage, and this may seem a little peculiar to you also this morning in the sense that this is not really a Christmas passage per se, and yet, of course, being December 21st, the Sunday before Christmas, we want to hear a Christmas message, and so it will be. But I'm going to read a passage to you where Jesus is speaking. And I want you to remember that when Jesus begins to talk or tell a story or a parable, there's always, in that parable, it's a kingdom of heaven principle. And when it involves characters or people in the story, there is usually a character in that parable that represents God or his son, his savior. And so as we read this parable, I want you to keep your eye out, your ear out, open, for what character God would be in this parable. And we're going to bring this around into a context of Christmas, because I'm going to read to you another passage in Luke in just a moment. So Luke chapter 10, if you would turn there. And we're going to start with verse 25. Now you will know this parable as the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you will be familiar with it if you've been around church for a while or you grew up in Sunday school. You'll know this. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, it says this: on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now remember the question: how do I get eternal life? How do I make it to heaven? Jesus says, "What's written in the law? How do you read it?" The expert in the law who was testing him answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But the expert of the law wanted to justify himself a little further. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replies with this parable, this story. "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers." Who's the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy? Okay, he's in the story. Okay? And who's the one who's traveling? Us. People. We are here in this life, and we are going through this life. And you know what? We take some beatings and some bruises and some trip-ups and disaster. And you know what? The enemy of your soul and my soul is ready to pounce. And so we go through this life and we get robbed from joy and all kinds of things that God intended for us. So he's traveling and he falls into the hands of robbers. "They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side." Now you and I would have different expectations of a religious man, right? Where's the charity? Where's the benevolence? Where's the kindness? Where's the compassion? So too, a Levite, one who knew God's word, one of God's people, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side also. But a Samaritan, now I got to pause here, because the experts in the law, you know, they were Jewish. They knew God's law. They were God's people. And the Samaritans were pagans. For the most part, they were not people who were desirous, to have relationship with. You remember, the woman at the well. Know her as a Samaritan. And that's in, John chapter 4, and you can read that later if you want. So the Samaritans were looked down on, and yet Jesus comes into this, tells this story about, you ask and you're trying to justify yourself. Well, let me tell you a story. Here's a person falls in the hands of robbers, and you priests and you experts of the law and you God's people, you walk by on the other side, and yet there is this Samaritan who you look down on, who you do not receive, comes along. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw the man, he took pity on him, had compassion on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. And he said, "Look after this man, and I will return, for I must go away. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have in caring for this man." And Jesus says, "Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The experts in the law replied, they didn't say the Samaritan. They had to choke this one out. You have to understand the context here. They were not going to say that a Samaritan was good. They said, "Well, the one who showed mercy." Jesus gave them specific labels and says, which one of the three? They didn't pick one of the three specifically. They said, well, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus told this man, go and do likewise. Here it is. How do I inherit eternal life? Right? That was the initial question. Right? How do I inherit eternal life? Great question. Good question. And the follow-up was, who is my neighbor? If part of inheriting the kingdom of heaven is loving God first and loving my neighbor. You see, you have to understand that salvation comes by faith. But our faith, you know, that salvation comes to us and we're justified for it through faith. And our faith is justified by our actions. Faith and works go together. James writes it. So part of the salvation that we experience being justified to have is through faith in Christ who gives it to us. But then this faith has to move us to the place of loving God first and loving people around us. People who are hurting, people who've been robbed, people who maybe, we'll use this term, when we come across them at that moment, they are less fortunate than we are at that moment. Who's God in the story? Who's God in the story? It's not a trick question. It's the obvious answer. Because I know you're hesitant because you don't want to say the wrong thing and pastor's setting us up. Who's God in the story? The Samaritan. The Samaritan is the one with the virtue of God in this story. It wasn't the religious community. It was the one who understood how to love a person. We inherit salvation, eternal life, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. We do not gain it by works. But because we have this faith, the faith is justified by what we do. The works that go along with our faith, as a result of our faith, not getting in heaven by doing works and that those works produce eternal life. No, they never will. Faith alone in Christ produces eternal life, but because of that faith, we prove that faith by what we do and what we say and how we live. So God is the Samaritan. I want you to look back in Luke chapter 2. We'll start with verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census taken that took place while this fellow, the governor of Syria, called it. I don't want to mispronounce his name. Thank you. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up. Joseph, right, who's pledged to be married to Mary. And she is pregnant of the Holy Spirit. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room where? In the inn. No room at the inn. In the parable that Jesus was telling of the Good Samaritan, isn't it just like God to put a person up at an inn and pay all their expense and make sure that they're put back to health, even in a place where he was turned away and not even good enough to be born in? No room in the inn for a pregnant woman. Now, the innkeeper, of course, didn't know that this was Mary, who was about to give birth to the Savior, that the child in her womb is the one who could provide salvation for the innkeeper. He didn't know. He would have probably done things differently, wouldn't you say? Not that you're going to throw somebody out, but you're going to find some place, somewhere, maybe in your own living quarters. But they wouldn't even take her in that he could be born there. Instead, he's out in a cave or a stable or a manger, whatever level of sentiment that you have and what you want this beautiful scene to be that was actually a very poor scene. Then isn't it just like God that though he would not be received at the inn, he would later be willing to take someone and put them up at a place that turned him away or that wouldn't take him in or that he wasn't important enough to be taken in. That he would go back to a place like that and provide everything a person needs. If anybody was worthy of staying at the Hyatt, it would have been Jesus. If there was anybody who was worthy of being catered to at the resort, it would have been him. But there was no room for him. And yet with the heart that he has, he will take somebody in need and put them in the very place that turned him away. How do we inherit eternal life? Through faith in Christ. Our faith is justified by what we do. Loving God first and loving our neighbor. Our neighbor's defined. Our neighbor can be a total stranger. What is Christmas? Yeah, it's the baby being born. Baby Jesus, the Savior of humanity being born. That's Christmas. But what is Christmas? Christmas is when a person who believes in this Christ turns around because of believing in him and does something for someone else and does something in a better manner for them than they would even do for themselves. That's what Jesus did. In the story, he's portraying what God is like. He didn't just wrap the bandages and pour on oil and wine for healing and then just take them on the side of the road and prop them up against a tree and make a little fire or take them to some manger. He took them to the inn. He took them to a place where he'd be warm. He took them to a place where people would wait on him and he would pay the cost. Treating someone better than he was being treated. Treating someone better than his mother was being treated. See, that's what Christmas is. We can provide the gift of Christ all year long, all day long, anywhere, any place, anytime. Christ of Christmas, he is in genuinely the lending hand. The Christ of Christmas is in the person who is focused to do what they're going to do. They're on their way somewhere. They have a schedule. They have a plan. They have an agenda. But Christ is in the Christmas is in that Christian. Christ is in that Christian who pauses to take time for somebody else in need. You know, maybe that's why I told the story about those young girls last night. I did not do some valiant thing. All they did was hook jumper cables up on a car. But to those three girls, that was really important. Not a big deal. I'm not patting myself on the back. It wasn't some valiant thing. And give me a break. It was stepping outside, hooking up jumper cables, turn the key, take them off, hand them back, and say, you know, God bless you. Have a good night. Listen to your dad. That was it. But to them, it was important. And not selfishly, but loving them as my own neighbor, I understand that I'm going to be in need too. And you know what? If it was my daughter out in some parking lot, and I wasn't around, you know what? I want Christ in Christmas to show up for them through somebody. Those were somebody's little girls. Well, I got some little girls. And I want somebody to be neighborly to them. I'll give it to you in another parallel. The waiter and the waitress you have at the restaurant who are working and serving you and caring for you. And, you know, if the food didn't turn out good, understand it's not the waiter or waitress's fault. And you might determine what their tip is based upon the service you get. I understand. But you know what? That's somebody's son or daughter. And if your daughter was a waitress or your son was a waiter, you'd have a whole new perspective on how to treat waiters and waitresses. If your daughter was off at college and trying to work her way through and she's waiting tables, you'd want her to get the best tips possible. Well, next time you go to eat, understand that might be some student trying to work their way through school. Who's your neighbor? I know that most of us in this room, some more than others, because you have a disease of being self-sufficient, don't like help. We all like to be self-sufficient, not ask for help. But you know what? We are all in a place where we need help, and people around us need help. And it's not about keeping ledgers. It's not about you did and I did and how much. And this is about Christ in Christmas, and that every day is Christmas. And that if we get the lesson that God would take someone and make sure that they were treated better than he was or his mother was, that he would do better for somebody else than what was done to him, then if that can come into our heart and into our mind to treat other people better than we would even treat ourselves, because that's what Jesus would do. That's what Jesus did. That's what God has done. That, my friend, is Christmas. I know it doesn't sound romantic and filled with sentiment and candle lights and decorated trees and fancy bows, and we can have all that and do all that, and it's right and it's good and it's fine. Would you rather have a gift under a tree, or would you rather have somebody help you when you're broke down on the side of the road? Hands down, I'll take, if I'm ever broke down on the side of the road, I'll take help. Or whatever the need is. If you and I are busy and worried about the community's agendas to take out Merry Christmas, and you can't say that, and you got to say Happy Holidays, do you know what? Maybe they need to see what a Merry Christmas is, and maybe they haven't seen it. And that's why their response is, Let's be tolerant and call it happy holidays, because they haven't seen the Christ of Christmas in the one who says they believe. That nobody's ever put them up in a better way than what they were. We cannot be in the mentality, well, that was never done for me, so I'm not going to do it. It's been done for you. It has been done for you. Recognize it. That in Christ, it has been done for you. That you are allowed to live in a place of faith, that you and I could have never even dreamt. And that we are going to a home one day that we do not deserve. Because of the Christ in Christmas.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.